Holy moly, I've got a very important message from Zane Shaw. He's got a podcast. You're listening to Save Your Bacon with Zane Shaw and Will Palumbo. Don't lose your bacon. Get Zane and Will shaken.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, this is Save Your Bacon, an advice comedy podcast where we think we're helping. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
If this is your first episode, I hope it isn't. But
I
don't start them all with a little cracky. It's not even kombucha because I'm still upset that it's not available.
Oh, yeah. Your kombucha place is not selling.
We over-advertised Zane, and we flooded them with business, and now they can't even sell to us because they're too busy selling to other people.
What we've done is we've accidentally spread ourselves too thin, and we've accidentally given away our secret to others, and now we don't... It's like we had the Krabby Patty secret formula. We told one other person, and now we don't even get to use the secret formula anymore.
That's the exact analogy I was going to use, except for the fact that we are spreading other people too thin, and we told a lot of people... about it, and then they but
right
yeah,
now
same thing.
Right now in this analogy in real life currently nobody gets to use that secret formula, am I correct?
No, but I mean people are going out of the way and they're going to the stores and buying stuff, so basically they like have a bunch of accounts with all these places that they sell their stuff, like, you know, big grocery stores and whatnot in the area, and they're selling out so fast they have to keep on restocking and don't have time to open it up to like regular people wanting to just stop by and buy it.
That's
the problem. I know. Now I have to go to the store and buy a can that's been sitting there for who knows how long rather than straight, you know, from the teat of the kombucha cow, you know?
Honestly, it should be illegal for that situation to even be in existence, right? Like so many people need this. So many people need this right now and they can't provide it. And that being said, Will, in what state is it illegal?
Got me good. Wow.
Is it illegal to cause static between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m.
No way. To cause static?
Yes. Between midnight and 6:59 a.m., go nuts. Between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m., illegal to cause static.
Texas.
Wow. I feel like I would have guessed that too, but you're wrong.
Okay.
Do you want a second guess?
I'm trying to imagine like maybe dry states where it's more of an issue. Arizona?
No, you're on the wrong side.
I'm on the wrong
everything.
You're
south. Okay. You need to be north.
North? But north, I feel like north places aren't as dry.
So you're trying to think of dry lands. Maybe you should try and think of some like bad lands.
I know a couple bad states.
Did I not just give it away?
Wait, South Dakota?
Yes.
Okay, I've been there, I forgot. I was thinking of Badlands as a terrain rather than a place, and it is definitely just a place.
There's your appetizer. Now for the main course.
Really?
In what
South
state?
Dakota?
Yes. In what state? I think so. And correct me if I'm wrong
if
you
want.
You think so? I'm pretty sure that when I was looking up where the Badlands were at one point, that's there.
Okay.
In what state is it illegal to catch a fish, quote, with a firearm, or, quote, with the hands alone?
So no noodling and no shoot fishing.
You cannot catch a fish with a firearm or with just your hands.
This is going to be Oklahoma.
God, such a good guess. It's such a good guess. It's wrong. It's such a good guess.
There are. You should give
me a good hint.
Four choices or something. Maybe we need to alter.
I'm going
to
give you a bad, vague hint. All right. You ready for this? When I drove from here to Boston to back, I had to drive through this state both times. And both times, I thought, oh my God, this is a ghost town. Nobody lives here. This is absolutely no one lives here, and nobody would ever want to, nor should they ever want to live here.
Ohio?
So close.
I mean, Indiana?
Yes.
Yeah, Indiana. Sorry to all our Indiana friends out there, but I've never actually met somebody from Indiana. No, there was the one girl that I kind of accidentally started dating when I was in high school who lived in Indiana.
I don't know if anything. I drove around like the top edge of Indiana, and I don't know if that's notoriously worse than like the middle or the bottom or whatnot, because it's a long state, right? Chicago's at the top of Illinois versus Springfield at the bottom, and those are entirely different worlds. So that might be the case in Indiana. But it was.
Yeah, I remember driving through Indiana. I mean, I don't want to like go in any public forum and be like, screw Indiana, any particular state. Who knows? Maybe we're selling ourselves out of like a tour in Indiana for all we know in 5 years down the road.
We just need them to prove us wrong. We need that. Like, we need to like then go to Indiana and be like, we're so thankful you guys had us because you have shown us the ways of Indiana. See, we're
I also don't want to be mobbed in a stadium before getting a chance to say I'm sorry about the thing I said 5 years ago. So maybe this is not a situation of say sorry after you've already done the bad thing and ask for forgiveness.
We are we're just talking about crazy state laws. In Indiana, you just happen to have one of those dang crazy laws.
Well, hey, we're so glad you're here. Sorry, I haven't been really talking too much to you, listener, lately, but I just wanted to recognize your existence and say thanks for stopping by into our little shop. Zane, do you want to start us off with a question?
I absolutely do. And I'm going to start you off with a dang good one. And the main question here is, who can I trust? I was over at my friend's house for dinner the other day. She brought out a meatloaf. And my friend said, you're going to love this. My mom makes the best meatloaf. And I can honestly say it was pretty terrific. A couple days later, my own mom brings out a meatloaf for dinner. My brother chooses to say the magic words, man, our mom makes the best meatloaf. Well, it was also very good. One of them is clearly lying. It is impossible for these to both be the best meatloaf unless one mom is secretly making both meatloafs. How do I get to the bottom of confronting both of these folks and figuring out why one of them would lie to my face like this? And that comes from Swear to Meatloaf.
So my initial thought was, I think they're both using the same, like, you know, Betty Crocker recipe online or something.
If they're both using the same recipe, I mean, you got to think about this. Will, if you and I had the exact same recipe in front of us, we would not make the same thing.
You know, that's true. I mean, did he specifically say they tasted different?
Well, that's the
He said it was pretty good, and the first one he said pretty terrific.
Sometimes I wish we had the question asker, like, in front of us so that I could get a little bit more context, because
What we use guests for. Okay. That's what we do guests for.
All right, we might incorporate.
If you want to be a guest, let us know. But you have to come on with a good question.
Yeah. So we'll like live guest for a question spot. That sounds about right. So in this scenario, he said his friend's mom, their meatloaf, terrific. His own mom's meatloaf, very good.
Very good. What? How far at the scale, 1 through 10, is terrific versus very good?
I would say terrific
is a 7.
Do you think terrific's a 7?
No, very good is a 7.
I was going to say terrific might be an 8 or 9, and then very good is clearly above 5, so 6 or 7.
But I think good is 6, right? Okay is 5.
Okay is 5, good 6, very good 7. Terrific and like fantastic.
Where is great? Yeah, terrific and fantastic are the
great's,
same thing.
Okay, great's above very good, which means terrific's above
great
that.
Great is 7, fantastic is 8, marvelous, wondrous, or spectacular is 9.
Mm-hmm. And then otherworldly or
godlike,
life changing. Something if
life,
somebody
life takes, altering or godlike.
If somebody takes a bite of the meatloaf and says, I now understand the career path I'm gonna go on for the next 30 years because you have opened my eyes to new horizons, that's probably a 10.
I would call that one a 10.
And I'm gonna say that they did not say that.
That was not listed. Yeah, that is irrelevant to it. But we have a scale. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty sure we mean that, you know, maybe your friend's mom is just a better cook and it is the same recipe. But they probably went on and they were like, oh, Betty Crocker says this is the best meatloaf around.
But
and they both saw the same thing.
I'm just realizing something. So, like, this person just had meatloaf. They said a couple days ago they had meatloaf with their friend. And then a couple days later, they had meatloaf again. And so you ever have a pizza and your expectations are at a certain place when you have a pizza the next time? And you're like, maybe this pizza just wasn't as good as that last pizza. Or maybe you're like, you built up in your head how good it was when you just had it last time, maybe because of circumstances. Like, maybe it tasted better solely because they were with friends. Maybe it tasted better solely because, like, what they didn't mention is they were like, mom brought out pizza. Also, we were at Chuck E. Cheese and we had 200 tokens for skee-ball.
Yeah, maybe it's the atmosphere that made it not as good. Maybe they have something going on at home.
Yeah, maybe they were at home.
It was only a 7 out of 10. Maybe, but maybe. The friend's mom is like a hottie.
Yeah.
And that's what made it an 8. That's what increased the atmosphere. They're rich and they have a hot mom. and that's what made it an 8. It's like the meatloaf was great, but the view was fantastic.
It's the scenery that takes it. You don't just go to Bora Bora for the food of Bora Bora. You go for the
nobody
beautiful
does
waters.
That, Zane. Nobody says, "I, what do you want to do for dinner?" And they say, "I don't know, maybe Bora Bora."
That's not what I meant.
Nobody's like, "I'm going to Bora Bora." And they say, "Why?" And they're like, "The food." No, they go because it's not here and it's tropical.
Well, same with your friend's house.
Exactly. It's not here and it's tropical.
My friend lives in Madison, Wisconsin, the most tropical place that I can think of in the Midwest.
Yeah, I guess.
I go there for the meatloaf and the mom.
Did I ever tell you about the beast loaf?
No, and now I need to know.
The beast loaf was an invention of a 12-pound meatloaf that the dad of the family I lived with a couple years ago made, and it lasted 7 people 2 weeks of eating it almost every day.
Wait, how big was this? Oh, my God.
12 pounds.
12 pounds.
12 pounds of beef before the other ingredients went into it. Like, you had to cut yourself. It was like, I don't know, it was like a foot wide, and it was like maybe 18 to 20 inches long, and it was like a slice of bread high.
Oh my gosh.
Like a big slice of bread high. It was like you had to cut it down the middle, and then you start cutting out little bread slices, and each one of those is like a meal because it was so dense. It took up half the fridge.
Is there any chance, this is very important now, is there any chance that this question asker was there for that event?
No, because that was 100% the best meatloaf I've ever had in my life, and I wouldn't have called it a 7 or an 8. I would have called it a 10.
Okay.
I know they did not have the
meatloaf. That was godlike?
That was a godlike, life-altering meatloaf.
Life-altering beast loaf.
Beast loaf. I don't know how he cooked it. That seems like a wild ride. I think it probably must have been like 3 days in the oven or something.
It's like when people try and make like the perfect Thanksgiving turkey, and that thing is like bigger than the oven. That the beast loaf is proper preparation. You can't just go into that blindly.
No, yeah, it was like a full day event to create the beast loaf, but I have fond
the news
memories
cameras are here, everybody gather around the kitchen, he's gonna do the beast loaf.
Yeah, I mean, like, meal prepping is great and all, it's like, but it takes a lot of time, and it's like, sometimes the stuff doesn't stay very well. Beast loaf, it was literally 2 weeks, 7 people who did not have to even think about what they were eating for any meal they want, because beast loaf was available and ready for them, a microwave away, you know?
This is phenomenal.
I just never worried about my food for those 2 weeks. It was like, oh, you hungry? Beast loaf time.
That's amazing.
Every day.
And you know what? Actually, you can incorporate that into the answer I'm going to give to the question asker. I think that the easiest way to get to the bottom of who is lying is I need you to print out fake flyers about a meatloaf cooking competition around your local area, right? All right, good. You've got that. Slide it under the doors of both your mom's house and your hot mom's house. Now, they're going to come together and they are going to cook their meatloafs at the same time. They are fresh at the exact same times. Blind taste test. You, your brother, and your friend. All of you will now unanimously, American Idol style, judge these two meatloaves. And I think
and while you're at it, you know, I think like get all the other neighborhood moms in it as well.
I mean,
because
why not? Get as much food as
you
can.
If they're saying it's the best around, then they have to stand up to all the other meatloaves as well.
Yeah. And I mean, with you guys judging blindly, even if they were like, man, my mom makes the best meatloaf, they will not be able to deny if they ended up picking the friend's mom's meatloaf. Like, that's just, if that's what they pick blindly, that's the truth. The hard truth comes out when people don't have a bias towards whether the friend's mom is hot or not. They will just be like, no, the meatloaf is good in general. That's what
scenery
I like.
Scenery taken out of it, yeah.
Scenery gone, all meat.
You know, I know this joke has been said at least, you know, probably once, maybe twice, but like meatloaf truly is, from my experience, just a horrible amalgamation of like human corruption, you know?
It is like the food equivalent of Minecraft when like the world is still generating and there's like a giant gap missing.
What are you talking about? That means nothing.
It's a chaotic mess of I'm waiting for this to become something, but it stays what it is. Just a lump of meat.
Yeah, it's just like sin and gluttony in food form. Like, I go into it and I know I'm going to be unhappy in like a short amount of time. I'm going to be like doing nothing, hard of breathing. Heart is just like beating so fast. I'm just sweating just from sitting around playing like Elder Scrolls or something, you know, just a mess with myself alone. I smell like garlic. My sweat is yellow, you know, like meatloaf does nothing good for you. At all. I'll be on my deathbed of like 45 after my like second heart attack, and they'll be like, do you have any regrets? And I'm like, beast loaf. And then I pass away. You know?
What were his final words? Beast loaf. Oh, man.
That guy had away with words. Yeah. I have a question for you, Zane.
Ask away.
Okay. Which state is the state that you cannot get caught honking your horn in your car at a sandwich shop after 9 p.m.
Oh my god, I feel like I read this one. Because we're both doing the same thing.
I'm trying to get different websites.
I'm not gonna lie, I think it's Indiana again.
Mm-mm. All right, I'll give you three choices. We're gonna change it up. Ready?
Okay.
Is it California?
No.
Is it Oklahoma? Mm. Or is it Arkansas?
Oh man, none of those would have been my guess. It's not California. I don't know why it would be Oklahoma. I doubt Oklahoma. Tell me if you guys, I don't know what you guys have. I know that you have OSU. I know that.
Yeah, they have a school, correct?
Yeah. Arkansas has Little Rock.
Yes.
I'm going to say Arkansas.
Here is great. You're going to say Arkansas?
Yeah.
You are correct. It is Arkansas.
Yes.
Arkansas, past 9 p.m., deli meats need their beauty rest, and you cannot honk your car horn at them. I wonder why that was created. I'm just as a wild guess, I'm going to say that probably because a long time ago when all those delis got started, the people lived either above or in the same building. And so you can't honk around there because it's probably the same as a residential area.
That's a good guess.
That's not actually funny. That's just a guess.
No,
just
that's a good guess.
Mine.
That's straight.
Anyways,
up
I do have an actual question for you.
Please ask it.
Dear Zane and Will, similar to working out your biceps, legs, or core, can you work out the muscle in your eyeballs? And that is from Jake Edwards.
Yes. Right? Yes. Right? Yes.
The answer is yes.
All right. Do you want a question?
And I actually, I could do that, yes. Or I could tell you about some eye exercises.
Yeah, please, please.
Now, if you're listening in your car right now, do not participate in this. I cannot stress hard enough. Do not participate if you are currently driving a vehicle, because this will hinder your ability to drive your vehicle.
Oh, God.
Now that is clear, I looked up some eye exercises, and I'm getting an ad for something that I viewed on Sweetwater 10 days ago, and it bugs me.
I was on Sweetwater 10 days ago.
I'm terrified. What was that?
I was on Sweetwater 10 days ago.
What were you looking up?
I got the Rodecaster Pro that I'm using currently.
Right. I was looking up a new microphone. Eye exercises probably won't improve your vision, but they can help with eye comfort, especially if you get irritated at work.
Hold up. Before you continue, what's the point of eye exercise if it doesn't increase vision? That's like somebody telling me that I can work out my arms, but they probably won't get stronger.
You can have something work better. Well, I mean, like...
Like, the thing that you would work out your eyes to do is to be seeing better. You wouldn't want them to be like... You wouldn't want them to, like...
Well, they'll be less stressful. Okay,
look to the left, like, five times faster.
A condition known as digital eye strain is common among people who work at computers all day. Me. This condition can cause dry eyes, eye strain, blurred vision, and headaches. These things can help improve those symptoms. So you won't get better vision, but maybe you'll have wet eyeballs, less sore eyes, less blurry vision, and one headache instead of two. Here's how we do it.
Hold on. Less blurry vision does in fact mean that they have helped eyesight.
No. What? It's not like people who have to wear glasses are just like, if only I could unblur my eyes. That's not how vision works.
Isn't it? You either have blurry vision or not blurry vision.
No.
You don't just say like...
Some people see well up close. Some people see well far away. Some people just don't have round eyeballs.
And what does it look
eyeballs.
Like where they don't have good vision? What does that look like?
It looks blurry.
Exactly.
I feel like we've switched roles today, Zane. It's weird. Okay, focus change. This exercise, okay, and I'm going to say one more time, do not do this if you are in a car, okay?
We are not legally.
I cannot stress enough.
We're not legally involved in if you happen to do something on the road that you would later regret because you were doing unasked for eye exercises.
If you continue to listen to this podcast, you are throwing away your liability to us for you getting a car crash because you were doing eye exercises while driving or any sort of thing that requires you to use your eyes in a way that is not, you know, looking forward. Anyways, okay, here we go. This exercise works by challenging your focus. It should be done from a seated position, but not in a car.
Not in a moving car when you are in the driver's seat.
If you're parked, fine.
Passenger? Fine.
Fine if you're a passenger. But don't listen to podcasts with other people in the car. That's weird. Okay. Hold your pointer finger. We're going to do this together, Zane.
Okay.
And listeners who aren't in the car, do it with us. Okay. Hold your pointer finger a few inches away from your eye. Focus on your finger. I can't do this while I read it, but I'm going to do my best. focus on your finger. Okay. Slowly move your finger away from your face, holding your focus.
All right.
Okay, look away for a moment into the distance. Look out a window or something.
Yep.
Focus on your outstretched finger and slowly bring it back toward your eye. Now look away and focus on something in the distance again. It says repeat that 3 times.
Why?
And you know what? As odd of a question as this is, it's forcing your brain to switch between looking at stuff far away and stuff close, which I would argue would help with vision if you struggle with, you know, only seeing up close or only seeing far away. And it's like challenging your eyes to like, yes, I see you blinking a lot.
Yeah, I have
eye strain. No, that's you. That's like saying I did one curl. Now I have arm strain. No, you're working out. That's the muscles.
How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between sore eyes and exercised eyes?
When I'm staring at a screen 14 hours a day, like I often am, mm-hmm. I know what eye strain feels like.
Yeah,
and I know that is a little bit different from what I do when I did this yesterday when I was looking up this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fair. I can feel the different places of the eye, where it would be eye strain versus what I'm feeling right now. I feel that difference. Other good eye exercise, I kid you not, I lived a very placebic childhood where if someone told me...
That's a word?
It's got to be, right?
What does placebic childhood mean?
Well, you know what a placebo is.
Means it doesn't do anything.
Well, it doesn't do anything, but you believe it does something.
Oh.
That's what. So okay, like if somebody... Going. Like if I said I have a headache and you said this cures it, and it was really a placebo pill, and I said, oh, that cured my headache. Well, it does nothing. But okay. Because you told me it does something, I believe you. So right. I very often will and did take things at face value. So like when people are like, carrots are good for your eyesight, I kid you not, I would run upstairs if it was nighttime and I wanted to film something outside at night. I would say, oh, so that I can see better at night, I grab a carrot and I eat a carrot and I almost immediately felt like I could see better at night.
Like it gave you spidey powers.
Yeah, like it's like it was a little potion that allowed me like 5 minutes of night vision. Sorry for another Minecraft reference.
I didn't even take it as that. There are potions and everything,
But point being,
I have a little potion bottle collection over in the kitchen. You know this.
Just buy yourself a bag of baby carrots And the same way that we just did the finger exercise, every now and then when it's nighttime, if you consciously realize that you're looking outside at nighttime and you're like, I don't know what that is off in the distance, grab a carrot and convince yourself that you can see what it is off in the distance and tell me that you don't all of a sudden know what it is in the distance. I want to see if that genuinely, if you can convince your brain that works.
Zane, do your parents, do either of your parents, like when you hand them something on your phone to like look at or read, do they like put it like 10 feet away from their face and then they like squint a bunch
and then they bring it back in close
and then they can read it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, but I will be the dad who carries around a little pocket full of like 4 baby carrots and a little holster. And when my kids are like, Dad, look at this thing on the screen, I'm just going to be like, hold on 1 second. I'm going to pop a baby carrot and be like, give it to me. I'm ready. Hurry, quick. You know? Like,
honestly, back to, for anybody that doesn't know, when I was with Will a little while ago, we got a bunch of little baby foods to try out the flavors.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sad we didn't actually do anything with that. I go to Aldi all the time and I just want more baby food.
We will this summer, don't worry, boy. I genuinely can't stress enough, a lot of them were very good. And because it's just literally fruit smoothies or veggie smoothies. So get some carrot baby food, just pop a power packet and just...
Honestly, that'll do it too, yeah.
It'll literally feel like a potion
great
at that point.
It's a snack.
Because it only takes like 2 seconds
healthy
to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, it was like a shot of smoothie. But it was really good. Yeah, go to Aldi. Go to your local Aldi if you got Aldi in your area. And get yourself some of those really good baby foods. There's like 20 different flavors. They're like 70 cents.
Can you please just buy like some neon tape and then buy like a carrots one and a blueberry one and whatnot. But then label them, right? So on the carrot one, just label it eyes. And then blueberries, label it brain, because they're like really good for your brain and whatnot. And so when people go into your fridge and they're like, what
are you? Your eye potion and your skin potion and your brain potion.
If someone
similarly, like, we should get like the beer hat with like the 2 cans that come off the side and a little little like sucker thing that the straw, that's the word. And you can drink them out of there and just like have like a quick reload to like throw in more, because they work really well for that. There was like a nice like consistent little lip of those things, you know, so babies can get around their mouths around them. But no, it's like the only ingredients in it were fruit. This is like not even remotely related to the question at this point, I'm pretty sure, because I don't remember what the question
carrots
was.
Carrots help eyes.
But eyes, right, yeah. But truly, let us be the experimenters for you. If you're like, man, how do I get more fruit in my diet? How do I have a healthy snack for my lunch, you know? Put baby food in it. You can even switch it out and put it in a different thing if you're afraid of walking around with baby food, because my girlfriend did tell me that when I was in Aldi's with her not that long ago, I was like, I do want to get more baby food since then I had it. And she said, not with me around. It's like, okay, I get it.
Why wasn't it weirder when it was you and I getting it?
Because it looks like a joke when it's you and I.
Hold on. Do you remember very clearly that when we were checking out at Aldi, we had, and I kid you not, 20 packs of baby food and a half gallon of milk, and that was all that we bought at Aldi.
Yeah, that was all we got there that day, huh? Yeah, that's fair.
I think they made their own assumptions, and I think they were right.
And that's fine. No, probably not. They were not correct. Anyways, I hope that helps.
Oh my gosh. Will, I have a question. You want a question?
No, but I do want some middle stuff.
Oh, middle stuff.
I thought you were going to play the music.
No, so I have a soundboard on the new audio interface that I have, but a lot of the audio cuts in and out on Will's side, so I don't want to risk it on like certain audio cutting in and out for him. But that little trombone, I'm able to play just a quick clip of, and he catches it every time, and I heavily appreciate that.
Folks, thanks for making this so far in this podcast. I don't know how long it's been. Not super long, but good job anyways. The fun part of this podcast is that it's made by you, the listener. You are sent in questions, fuel the fire that is our advice, so please send in a question today.
And you can send in those questions either through anchor.fm, where you can find everywhere that you can listen to us. You can sponsor us. You can send us video messages or audio messages through there. Essentially, everything you need is through anchor.fm/saveyourbacon. Or if you want to send it to us the good old-fashioned way, you can email us your questions at saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. One more time for the GPSs. That is saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, the entire show wouldn't exist without you guys, so we thank you muchly for your patronage, for your questions, for your everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Hey, Zane. Yeah? Speaking of Anchor.fm, I think we have a short message from them.
Do we?
Oh!
Well, you know what? That wasn't half bad.
Yeah, that was fine.
And on that note, do you want another question?
Yeah, I would love that.
All right. This question's front line is, my tattoo meet cute. I came across a TikToker the other day where a cute girl said she wanted to get a matching tattoo with a complete stranger. I thought it would...
No. That just screams daddy issues. I'm going to say it.
We are jumping it. Well, what does it say about the question asker? Let me get to it. Yeah. I thought it would be a crazy interesting story, so I messaged her and told her I would be down. We both decided and agreed with each other on a matching golden four-leaf clover right on the right butt cheek.
Oh.
This way, it'd be a little secret only the two of us would ever know about.
What's the point of keeping secrets with strangers? There's nothing there. I could go up to any stranger and be like, want to have a secret of mine? And they'll be like, probably not, but... If I was wildly attractive, you know, maybe they'd be like, sure, fine, sounds good. I tell them literally anything, and then that's our little secret that doesn't have to be tattooed onto my body for the rest of my life. Sorry, keep going.
Want to have one of my very good old-fashioned Will's secrets? Only 25 cents.
Oh my gosh, that's a quarter that's for the secret. It's $400 for the golden tattoo. Keep going.
It really is. They said, so I just got mine, and I told her about it. The problem is, I haven't heard back from her yet.
Come on.
When I finally meet this girl, Stop. Is it okay to open up with, I'm that guy who also has the clover on his butt, just like you? I think it'd be a great meet-cute story. So should I wait to hear back from her, or should I let life just guide me towards running into her one day now? And that question comes from Kiss My Ass, It's Irish.
You met a demon on the internet who is just like, how many thirsty, down bad boys can I get to make tattoos? And at the end of my life, I'll just be like, oh yeah, I know the 54 people who have the golden butt cheek tattoos all over this world. That's because of me. I did this.
The real secret is how many people she has around the world that have that golden tattoo mark.
She's done it so many times. You have not made a secret. You have made yourself a victim of society.
You have marked
yourself. She works for big tattooists. She works for the big pharma of tattoos. And she's getting them so much money right now.
It's like, you know, so you know how like a serial killer has a calling card at all of their locations? Like it might be like a literal playing card or a note or a whatever symbol or whatnot. And people are always like, we found the Zodiac killer because of like, they always leave this or whatnot, blah, blah, blah. Well, little did you know, like you're going to be like in an intimate relationship one day, years down the road. You guys are in bed just politely going at it with each other. And all of a sudden, you both, hear me out. You both notice on both of your right butt cheeks that it's a golden four-leaf clover tattoo. And you say, oh my God, no way. I'm going to tell you this crazy story. And they say, actually, weird fun fact, that same girl did this to me too. And all of a sudden, you guys have opened up the beginning of this novel that is like, now it's going to start to unravel, right? Because the calling card can only happen so many times before somebody discovers that it's happened. Like,
yeah,
she... The TikToker knows how many people that she has marked with this golden four-leaf clover tattoo. But once two of those people meet, it goes all sensate, and everybody all of a sudden starts realizing that they're linked, and everybody's going to come, and you're going to start a Facebook group and be like, if you have this golden four-leaf clover tattoo on your butt, call me right now, please. And all of a sudden, you're going to find out there are like 250 of you guys. You'd be like, oh my gosh, this person is getting around.
And then like 6 months later, you're going to see like commercials on TV. And it's like, you know, if you've been, you or a loved one has been affected by the golden butt cheek tattoo, you know, like the mesothelioma sort of commercials, like you are entitled to financial compensation.
I have
How
moderate
much prison should you get? You won't get any. How much prison should you get for catfishing down bad men into getting a butt cheek tattoo that resembles your little clan of boys?
I say absolutely none. Because
none?
Because they're the ones that have both agreed to getting the tattoo and paid to get the tattoo. If it was like, if you like hooked up with
now,
somebody.
Now, we're not going to victim blame here,
no,
Zane.
No. My point, but I mean, there's a difference between like if they hooked up for a night and then they were gone in the night and all you were left with was this newly acquired golden four-leaf clover tattoo. That's a wild
if
different
that,
story.
I mean, that has never happened to me, but if it, I don't even know why that needs to be said, but somehow I feel the need to say this hasn't happened to me, but if that did happen to me, and I woke up that next morning and the person was gone and I was left with a golden four-leaf clover tattoo on my right butt cheek, I would want her in prison. I do not want
to be having these encounters
and be left with tattoos.
In that scenario, I understand the prison time. And I'll be like, all right, now you have criminally like taken something away from this person without permission. This is insane. You deserve some kind
of
punishment. But if we're talking somebody, and I didn't mean to say but there as a pun, but if we're talking some scenario of you're just a random TikToker, you don't know who's going to see this, right? And then somebody comes across it. Will, let's say I'm the TikToker, I'm the butt TikToker. You message me and you say, you want to get matching tattoos? I say, sure, what do you want to get? And you say, golden four-leaf clover, what else? Right on the right butt cheek. I say, all right, you can do that. And they do. Why would I?
But that isn't it. It's you signed up to get a matching tattoo. Matching inherently assumes that the other person also gets it, and you don't know how many other people are victim to just being left high and dry with a tattoo they thought that some, you know, cute stranger online also has, and then it's their little secret. Do you see where the manipulation happens?
Could you?
They're saying, it's our little secret. Don't tell anyone.
Right.
You know?
Right. But that what they really mean is, like, don't
Big
tell
Tat
anybody.
Big Tat is getting off on this stuff, is all
what
I'm
they really
saying.
Mean is, if you tell anybody, my whole circle of people getting this clover tattoo will unravel, and that's what they don't want.
But
Could
they're also
imagine?
Trusting by the butt tattoo
yeah.
that there's not going to be a guy who is very easily going to be brave enough to go on and be like, hey, TikTok, I fell real hard for this girl and agreed to get this butt tattoo. And then he saw a picture and was like, as
TikTok,
seen here.
TikTok would take that down.
TikTok would flag it because it's not a girl in a bikini. It's a man with a butt tattoo. And somehow one is significantly better than the other, and it's fine.
Could
TikTok has some wild rules.
Could you imagine, like, that person does get prison time after this? They're like, hey, you've tricked somehow 200-plus men and women into getting this butt tattoo. Just because of how wild that is, I'm going to give you time in prison. You'd be like, I guess that's fair. You go to prison. Your cellmate says, hey, remember me? And you say, no, why? And they pull down. They have the clover tattoo.
Oh, my gosh. You're in prison, and you get killed in prison or beat up or something because you find out that all the people in prison also have the four-leaf clover butt tats. Man, that's a cool story. We should start writing, Zane. Anyways, I have a question for you.
Please ask it.
Okay, sounds good. I will. Ooh, I have to decide which one I want. I have questions here. Okay, I'm going to hear. Hey, guys. I'm a little manlet boy who wants to grow a mustache and beard, but upon trying, ends up with hairs across his face as sparse as life after Chernobyl. I am turning 18 soon and get to decide what I want to get for my birthday. Do I ask for the beard of my dreams? Should I have my parents invest into beard vitamins like Delta Genesis, Organic Trace Beard Garden, Feels Good Lumberman, or maybe beard oils like Honest Amish or Mountaineer? Do I get a hair transplant? P.S. My dad also cannot grow a beard.
Oh, no. Oh, good, no. I'm in the same boat, my friend. I can't grow a good beard either. 5 o'clock shadow, I can do. But as soon as it grows out, it's patchy. It looks bad. I look like a beat-up pirate. It's just not good.
Like a down-on-my-luck pirate.
As opposed to the very everything-put-together pirate.
Yeah, yeah, a very well-to-do pirate.
This is the magic 1/8 birthday, right? This is the one where it all comes together. It's beard or no beard for the rest of life. That's where you decide.
Pirates of the Caribbean really did a number on our perceptions of pirates, didn't it?
Yeah. So this is a good question. I mean, if you really want to commit to the beard lifestyle, I think the only way through is, I truthfully, you've got to go all in. I wouldn't say beard hair transplant. I feel like that's a bold move. That,
yeah, I was curious when I got this question. I looked it up. It is a thing you can do.
I believe
it. I don't know. I didn't get an answer as to where you get the hair from, but you can put it on your face and supposedly it will just be there. I don't know if it like grows. That's a good question anyways, but have you ever used a single beard or facial hair product, Zane?
I have not. I've thought about it, but I have not. And I mainly only haven't because every time I go to a place to get something like shaving cream or whatnot, I forget to look for it while I'm there. Mm. But I thought about trying it. I have no genuine personal knowledge or experience with if it ever has worked. Do you have any experience with using it at all?
I have used a beard oil, which is not like made for beard growth. It's just for like beard maintenance. But a buddy of mine has a really nice beard. And so I went to him and I was like, what do you put on your beard? And he was like, beard oil. And he gave me his beard oil. And it's really great because like my skin would get all dry the longer it gets. Mm-hmm. And it's like hard to get underneath to it, you know?
Yeah.
And the beard oil just fixed that right up. I cannot recommend beard oil enough.
So does beard oil make your skin softer, or is it supposed to make?
I think it does a little of both, you know.
So it is supposed to make your hair grow. It's supposed to make the face hair grow, right? That's the whole point of beard oil, right? Or is it for when you have a beard?
I think it's for when you have a beard. It's for like beard maintenance. It's like it's not really like a. Maybe it's closer to conditioner than shampoo. You know what I'm saying?
What is the miracle grow of beard?
Yeah, that's the question because I think. I haven't done extensive research on it, but question asker, I'm going to be honest. There are a lot of manlets out there who are in a similar boat and who are preyed upon by industries that will sell you snake oil in order to promise you a full and bushy beard. That just is not the case, and there are too many of us. I cannot grow a full beard myself because it is too patchy as well. I've been told by everyone, but... yeah, I don't know if I would trust them. People can fabricate reviews. People can tell you how many sales they got, and they can show you fake pictures of all that stuff of how well it's grown. I don't know if it's worth it.
You don't think that getting the beard is worth it?
Well, getting the beard is worth it, but I mean, if you're already in a good stage where a beard isn't particularly supposed to be there, 17, you do not need a beard. When I was 17 and I saw guys in my grade that did have a beard, I was like, what's up with that? You're like skipping a couple of steps. I'm still here being a child, but
yeah. I think so. I mean, you got to keep things in mind, right? I think, Will, you brought up a good point. If you got the beard face transplant stuff, does that hair grow? Well, if it doesn't, then you've got to really, really commit to having beard because right. You can't shave at that point. Because if you shave at that point, the whole experiment falls through. Mm-hmm. Also, let's say you do find the miracle grow of beard. And now all of a sudden, 10 days in, you got this awesome beard. You're like, oh my God, I look like Colin Farrell. This is the greatest day of my life. But after time, you're like, wow, every single thing that I eat has disappeared into my beard. And also, my face itches like crazy. I want to get rid of this. And you get rid of it, and you're like, this is 3 pounds worth of hair going in the trash. Goodbye. And then the next day, whole beard is back? Well, that's because you
use Santa Claus.
Yeah, you're now in Tim Allen's The Santa Claus. And you can't get rid of this beard. You have, with the Miracle-Gro that is the beard growth stuff, you have signed away your option to have babyface. You have signed that away, right. And now you will always have to have beard. You got
also. I just want to question asker. I'm just gonna have a deep cut here, and I'm gonna say it. What's really going on, man? Why do you really not feel like a man? Not the beard.
How have we not yet touched on the fact that at 18, your biggest concern is wanting beard? Because I can promise you that was not at all one of my concerns at 18.
What's going on, man? You can write in a follow-up question.
We'll
address it. You can just DM us a question and be like, don't even put this on the podcast. We'll think about it. We might still put it up there.
We will.
But
I will.
Zane will. He's just dirty like that.
Yeah. But I don't keep secrets. I have a tattoo on my right butt cheek.
Correct. I don't think this is what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not saying I do know the answer, but I'm just saying it seems like some insecurity deep within is making you think a beard will solve my problems. And I know lots of bearded folks, and they have plenty of problems.
I can promise you a beard does not make the pain go away. Mm-hmm. Whatever
it
is.
The pain does not get absorbed into the beard. And I'm not saying like, oh man, everybody has problems. Like, those bearded people. No, I'm saying like, I know problematic people with beards. It won't make you a better person is what I'm saying.
A beard will change your personality though.
It could change
it for the worse. And you have no idea until you commit to it.
Yeah, you'll start wearing a lot of tweed, I hear.
You might wear bowler hats. You might... Mm. Start hatching, like you might buy blue paper and start writing out like blueprints for ideas that you never imagine, and all of a sudden like the neighbor's kid and you're like this mischievous little runt is like he's up to something and I'm going to figure out what it is, and like all of a sudden you're in like this feud with him that's like Disney chaotic and should be illegal in real life, but in fantasy land for a movie it's just like humorous and lighthearted. And You might never really get to meet the Robinsons, but we'll find.
Oh, I see. All okay. Right, very... I was just
he has a mustache. Off. That was a big jump. But
okay, very good.
Nevertheless,
you might just kind of like snap back into it and find yourself halfway through building a Swedish log cabin. That is a possibility.
Yeah.
You could start getting really into the notes of coffee, which is just generally a bad thing. So there are bad side effects to beard growth.
If you get a beard and you find that 10 days later you can now chop a tree down with your bare hands, you have evolved into something wild.
Punch it hard enough.
It's funny. With a beard, you will want to take your shirt off more and show them, look, all of the hair has gone to my face now.
It's all migrated upwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had that problem. I hope that answers your question.
Same.
Wait.
What?
Is that the end?
Are we stopping there?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, whoa, was that four questions? That was four questions. Oh, we're like 50 minutes. Yeah, we can end there. I mean, cut this out. Like, let me just like kind of naturally end it, right?
Right. Was that not a bit?
No, that was not a bit. I thought there was another question coming.
Oh, I absolutely really thought that was a bit. Oh
no, that was not a bit. So you can actually just like cut it from me being like us saying, I hope that helps, into this. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It is once again been a fantastic time. That will never get old, I promise. I'm sure it'll be another 50 episodes down the road, and we'll just love the said trombone. We got a lot of cool stuff planned for the future. We're so like, it's weird even, and I'm not even saying like I know what all those things are. But I'm saying, like, looking back, you know, 20, 30, 40 episodes at the amount that, like, we have changed and grown, I'm just incredibly excited for whatever it is up next. Thank you for being with us along for this journey and for listening this long, getting to the end. We appreciate it. We love you all. Have a great rest of your morning. And if it's easy, take it twice. Bye. Wait, hold on. This has been Save Your Bacon Advice Comedy Podcast. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
Yeah, bye.